Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And we are back live, a worldwide technology racetrack over here in Madison, Illinois. The Bomarito Automotive 500 is coming up on August 24th. Dave Letterman, Big Al, all the celebs. It sounded like Chris Blair was alluding to Dave Stewart from Worldwide, maybe bringing in a little star power to be part of the pre-race activity.
Yeah, I remember interviewing Letterman out here. That was a long time ago before Big Al got the exclusive and beat you and I.
Oh, and also Them Yo People. I'm glad our news directors didn't notice that Them Yo People and Mr. Gary landed the interview 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
I couldn't find the guy. I'm looking all over. And then Them Yo People, which you got to admit, Dave would be totally attracted to that kind of interview. And
yes,
Mr. Gary's great.
I know I interviewed Paul Newman, but I don't know if it was here or actually at the Brickyard.
I was in on the scrum here. It was when Michael Andretti won.
Was it Newman?
Paul Newman was here.
Okay, he was here.
With Andretti. They've had some star power, but it sounds like Dave Stewart's going to bring some back. Testing going on at the track today, and Chris Blair did mention, if you're a race fan, you can come on out. They're going to be here from 2 until 10. They're trying to replicate a little bit of that night racing that will take place in August. So if you're a fan, you can come to the Kartplex, and they'll kind of direct you where to go if you want to check out some of the activity. You can also check out Cardinals.com for upcoming series and tickets and promotions. Just go to cardinals.com/promotions. Going on the road after tonight, Cardinals are taking on the Cubs, going for the series win. Last night was the first time the road team won this year, so the Cardinals are 4-7 against the Cubs, 4-1 when playing at home, 0-6 at Wrigley. How about the last two weekends of the year? At Chicago for 3, at Busch for 3. Those are the last two weekend series. You got to just hope. It would be great theater, great drama. As disappointing as the deadline has been and the lack of urgency that seems to exist, it would be great theater to be at Wrigley and say you're down one, up one, down two, up two, and then coming home tied for first or up one. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, Joe Madden in the scrum the other day said this is exactly what I thought would happen when I looked at our club at the beginning of the season and their club at the beginning of the season, that we'd be fighting it out. And now the Brewers just a game back, and their acquisition yesterday I don't think was very inspiring.
Yeah, I guess he gave him a good start last night, Lyles, and he is a starting pitcher. You know, it's weird, Charlie Marlowe, who was he was active on Twitter critiquing the lack of movement. He said, you know, what's weird is this year you almost needed a guy like Tyson Ross, who you went and got last year,
yeah,
who's not a big name but maybe could give you some innings. It's really weird that the optics on it is, I didn't say they needed starting pitching. You didn't say it. They said it. They admit it. We need starting pitching. And then when you say that, you've identified the need, and then you're unable to fill it. I think you're going to see Helsley and De Leon, Ponce De Leon, doing some of these piggyback starts. 3 innings for him, 3 for him. I think you're going to get to that point unless everybody kind of turns it up a notch.
How about the fact that Mejia, they weren't even certain when he was going to get here.
He's in the Dominican, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
He's not even on a major league club.
Yeah. And they said, is he part of your team? Well, when he gets here,
we'll find out what he can
do. Everybody's looking around. This game tonight, this counts, right?
Exactly.
This game matters.
I'll tell you one Cub who I've been impressed with all week is Jason Hayward. He's had a terrific season. He's really surprised a lot of people with his offense. I mean, he maybe is still not quite worth the money they're paying him, but boy, you got an 816 OPS, you're on base 356, and you got 15 home runs, and you know he's as good as anybody in right field.
And they've had their disappointments, certainly at the beginning of the contract, and then you look up at Ian Happ. I thought he was going to be really good. Had an RBI last night, but he's hitting like 150. Addison Russell's down in the minors, so they've got issues over there. I think that added to the angst because they're a little bit flawed. They're a little off this year. They're not running away with like you thought the Cubs would.
I thought in the last two games we've seen a few holes with them. I mean, they're running into outs. They're throwing the ball all, you know, away, which they haven't done in the past. They are a flawed team. They are there for the taking if you can get things straightened out. I mean, and Milwaukee's the same way. Milwaukee doesn't have a lot of starting pitching that's healthy right now. That's a big issue for them. There's a lot of flaws amongst the three, and that's where the frustration is for Cardinal fans going, well, we're there, but nobody did anything to help trump our situation. And I think that's the big, that may be even the bigger thing. You know, we talked a little bit about, well, if you're going against Houston or the Dodgers, you kind of go, well, they're head and shoulders above everybody else. But when you have a chance against teams that are flawed and you have a chance to better yourself and get yourself over the hump and you didn't, that may be the most frustrating part of it.
All right, here's some reaction. Let's roll through some of the audio yesterday. John Mozeliak was in the dugout. He was joined by Michael Gersh. It was right around 4 o'clock, so it's an hour after the deadline. And once 3 o'clock hit, I think some people either hold out hope or sort of wonder, is there still something to come? Like, it could be, yeah, that big deal. That big deal is, so at 3 o'clock, you cannot be hot take guy on Twitter because you could be wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, 10 minutes.
You got to wait because a flood of them were announced like at 3:05.
Yeah, right. So at 4 o'clock, when Mozeliak and Gersh sat down, it became official that it was a swing and a miss. John Mozeliak on fan frustration.
I can understand why fans would feel that way or people, but, you know, in fairness, you know, for the last week, we've been working tirelessly to try to do something. And you know, it's always when you have deadlines and you don't come up with something, you know, people aren't happy. But, you know, I can't come up with an excuse that's going to make that go away. But I hope people realize that, you know, we're still excited about our club. We still think we can win.
And the question I asked was, people feel there's complacency or that you lacked a sense of urgency. And I think they wanted to know that they were working hard at it. But to be candid, every team, I would hope, maybe some don't care, but I would hope every team that's at least in the mix, they're all working hard at it. Mozeliak also talked about the obstacles they faced.
Well, I think the big thing for us was, first off, not a lot of the players that maybe were being talked about being moved were moved. And I think that put this market a little upside down. But then when you look at we didn't want to trade from our current major league team. And so it basically was prospects only or minor league players. And when you think about what was being asked or what was being discussed, it just wasn't enough to get the deals done.
Yeah, who? Why would you not want to trade from your major league team?
Right, doesn't that jump out at you?
Maybe.
Like, stop me when you get to the name that you wouldn't be willing to trade. And I got the sense they were in talks with the Mets. And I know Mark Saxon reported that it was the Bader or O'Neill ask that sort of ended those deals. But when he said players you thought were getting moved didn't, that's really, I think, about three people that were significant. Syndergaard, Wheeler with the Mets, and then Bumgarner with San Francisco, who they kicked the tires on. I don't think they got very far down the road with San Francisco because it became clear Giants weren't going to move them. But with
untradeables on the major league roster, just Goldschmidt, you'd prefer not to trade Hudson, Flaherty, and DeYoung. And then outside of that,
yeah,
as good as Colton Wong is, and I think he's an above-average second baseman, if he were moved in a deal that would yield you a good starting pitcher and you have Edmund who could play second or Gyro, I think you could probably be okay.
And if it weren't for the last 3 years, this day would not have been as profound, I think, in terms of the reaction. But you've swung and missed for a few years now. I mean, the Brandon Moss now, that looks like you acquired Lou Gehrig. I mean, because that was 4 years ago.
I forgot about that.
You got Zach Duke in 16. I'm forgetting even some of the other pieces the last couple of years. It's always just sort of a random bullpen piece. Here is John Mozeliak on the fact that just didn't do a deal to do a deal.
Well, again, I mean, in all fairness to that question or statement, we're not going to do an irrational deal just to say we did one, right? I mean, I can sense sort of the frustration in the air here that, oh, you guys didn't do anything. But what if we had done something and just been bad? And so then we read about that, too. So, you know, the object of this or the goal of this is to try to make successful and smart deals. And we just didn't feel we were at a point where we could do that. And we weren't just going to do it to just say we did it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a tough situation because everybody that was peppering him with questions all felt that a deal should have been made. But maybe if I'm John Mozeliak, like I simply say, look, we wanted to improve this team. We looked at what we had to give up specifically for this pitcher, and we just did not think that was a fair deal for us moving forward. I mean, he kind of said something like that, but maybe he could have been a little bit more direct.
And I think for people wondering, you guys got to hold them accountable. This isn't New York. This isn't Philly. I understand that. But the line of questioning was very negative, very specific, very pointed. And for people, you gotta tell these guys. Well, unless you go up and grab them by the shirt and, you know, drag them around. I mean, there's not a whole lot more you can do other than press them on the topic. And Derek Gould's specific question was, you said you wanted to see what they would do post All-Star break. They've done nothing but win since then. You know, that message doesn't really jive with what you had been saying. You believed you were all in. The questions were asked repeatedly, and I think the answers became redundant because people were peppering, but I don't think anyone was satisfied with the answer. There was a specific one about other teams are getting better or making moves, whether that's the Nats or the Phillies or even the Cubs getting Castellanos, you know, an extra bat who, oh, by the way, was leading the American League in doubles.
Yes.
Mozeliak was asked about that, other teams getting better.
Not really. You know, I think, like, you know, teams do what they think they need to do. But, you know, from a timing standpoint, you know, we're playing pretty well right now, and we still have a handful of people on the DL. Still very optimistic about where this club is headed. And, you know, when you're looking at specifically what we were trying to do maybe versus what others were, you know, we didn't see the value or the type of talent that we thought could really make a difference out there. That we could get done.
It's interesting because pieces...
That we could get done.
Get done, right.
Yeah, that's the key phrase there.
Well, and Brian Hoffman, you know, texted us and said, listen, a lot of these complications or restrictions are self-imposed. Like, well, we couldn't do it. Well, why? Because we don't want to deal from the active... Well, that's your decision. It's
right.
Not the market holding you back. You're holding yourselves back.
And don't you find it a little weird that, you know, that Dylan Carlson been hyped up and deservedly so. He's had a great... minor league season, but the fact that they didn't want to trade or couldn't think about trading an O'Neill or Bader, doesn't that kind of show you that Ozuna's probably gone? Because now they're thinking, okay, you know, they aren't even Bader down, O'Neill's up and down, you know, doing that, you know, going back and forth from Memphis. And I just don't understand. So you want Dylan Carlson to be a part of next year. You want Bader and O'Neill to be a part of next year. So, like, Ozuna is, like, the odd man out, and he's your best offensive player outside of Paul Goldschmidt. The winning in 2019 and yet bringing up players that won't be productive until 2021 and beyond is – I mean, they contradicted themselves almost for the past 4 months, and in one day, you know, they tried to decide, well, you know, we have guys on the DL that's, like, making a trade and don't want to get rid of guys hitting 190 that may not be the future of our team. I'm not quite for sure if they're wanting to win now. I think they're thinking about beyond that, which is a little weird because he wasn't saying that, you know, in spring training or beginning of the year.
I think if you were the Cubs when they were in their tank mode or whatever, and you knew Bryant was coming and you knew you had just the unbelievable stockpile of high picks, you could kind of tell your fans, hey, it's coming, it's coming. Hang in there. We're all about the future. But right now, you're just not that excited about it. I mean, one day I'm looking forward to seeing Nolan Gorman, but does that mean we're winning World Series because of one guy? I mean, I think the selling of the future is great if it's significant, and I just don't think right now what they're going to be selling next year or the year after that is significantly different. Now, tanking sucks, but look at Houston and Chicago. It sucks for baseball, but it works.
Yeah.
It does.
I think with the way things have gone, at the beginning of the season, you would have thought there's zero chance that Marcelo Zuna is going to be pursued by the Cardinals in the offseason. But with the way the thing has gone, with the regression of Bader and with Dexter Fowler being okay but not great, I'm wondering if the Cardinals should really think seriously about that. Because, as I've mentioned, there's not one organization probably in all of baseball that can say this. We don't know if we have an outfielder that's going to get 500 at-bats next season. Every team in baseball could say, hey, we know we got one guy that's going to get fired. The Cardinals are the only ones that don't.
Right. You say, well, I want to see Jose a little bit. I got to play Dexter a little bit. O'Neill could play some center, some left. You got a whole bunch
Carlson,
of guys.
Carlson, we're not sure.
And Bader's coming off a terrible year.
Yeah.
You don't see that in baseball. The All-Star game every year, it's hard to get in as an outfielder because there's so many good outfielders that just put up huge numbers. And then you go around the outfield. You don't want to be overly bleak for a team that's tied for first in a division that certainly has left itself open. But I'm just not looking at the future and saying, God, it's, you know, there's a ton coming.
Where do you say, I have a guy that can hit 25 to 30 home runs, drive in 85 to 95 runs?
Well, that's Ozuna.
Without Ozuna.
Yeah.
That, to your point.
But I don't think
there's. Why would you say no to that completely?
And why would Ozuna, who's going to be a free agent, you know, not want to see what's out there? I know free agency has been a little uncertain for some, but if you have his reasonable numbers and you're relatively young.
He did change his agent, though, to Yachty's agent. So maybe there's. Maybe he wants to stay and we don't know.
It is. It's pretty crazy how it's changed on him. Beginning of the year with the.
Yeah.
Almost clownish defense at times. You're like, God, you don't want. And then he starts hitting. You're like, we don't have a lot of these guys laying around.
We don't have one.
Yeah, you probably have. If you have Goldschmidt, Ozuna together, okay, now you're the 3-4, whoever's the 3 of the 4, whatever. You put those two together, you got something. What's your level of confidence they'll pursue him? Is it pretty low?
Yeah.
I think it's low, but I don't think it should be.
How about the fact that lately Jose Martinez has been better defensively than offensively? Had the great catch to begin the game last night. Had the great throw last week.
Yeah.
He says, forget George Hendrick. Forget Larry Walker. I'm a defender in right field.
That was a heck of a catch, though.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was, you know what, the first game, it was a well-played, tight game last night, well-pitched game. Michaelis did a pretty good job. You still can't get him deeper into a game. That's the problem. Went to the bullpen to get the big out. But, I mean, Michaelis was pretty good.
He was good. He's been very good recently.
And so this series has been close. It's been tight. I mean, you don't play the Cubs. It doesn't have the Houston feel where you're like, whoa, they're just so loaded.
Oh, that's true.
And the Cubs have more talented players. They've got a better roster. But you're not intimidated. I think when you play them, the games are typically tight, typically close. Could be the same thing tonight. But optics, if you lose tonight and you go 2-for-4 against Houston – and the Cubs, then that's kind of what everybody says. Oh, yeah, you beat up on the Reds and Pirates. It doesn't matter unless it's real. It doesn't matter what the optics are, but if the truth is you're just not as good as the better teams and you only beat up on the bad ones, then that's a problem.
Caller bring up an interesting thought. What about Gerrit Cole this offseason? Because it's doubtful Houston, who picked up $53 million of the Zach Greinke contract, is going to be able to afford Gerrit Cole as a free agent. And that's a perfect move. I mean, he is exactly what the doctor ordered. 143 innings, he's 12-5, whip 1.00. He's your ace for the next 4 years.
And it makes you think that maybe the Houston Greinke deal is related to that also.
I think so.
It's not just, hey, we loaded up, we're going for it all this year, but we're probably letting Cole go, and we've got somebody else now to back up Verlander. I mean, that move makes even more sense when you look at them the next couple of years.
Boy, you trot out Cole, Flaherty, Hudson, Michaelis, and then you get lucky with a fifth starter.
I like that, but I bet you the Yankees outbid you again because they need a starter. And Cole's going to be the top guy.
He's from Newport Beach, California. He went to UCLA. I wonder.
Well, maybe even L.A. Or did San Diego. Would be a good fit because you know they want a number one guy.
All right, let's take our final timeout. I do want to tell you about Anheuser-Busch. It's the summer of golf with Michelob Ultra. It's a light beer that doesn't weigh you down while you're golfing. Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra will be giving you a chance to get on some of the nicest courses in town to try out your game and test the best light beer for the course. Starting August 590 The Fan and Michelob Ultra will be giving away twosomes to some of the best courses in St. Louis, including Innsbruck, Gateway National, Far Oaks, Normandy, and many others. Stay tuned to 590 The Fan for your chance to win. And remember, when you're out on the course, make sure Ultra is your beer of choice. We'll be right back.